Hey, let's go answer the bell, huh?
If we just know what we're doing, work at it, and concentrate and do it.
Let's go, fellas!
Ready to roll, and here we go. Welcome into another episode of the Patriots Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
We are here with the Week 2 episode. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The NFL season has begun. We just wrapped up Week 1. We're on our way.
Pretty crazy.
And
pretty crazy.
What a Week 1 it turned out to be. The Patriots had a new quarterback behind center. Tampa Bay Buccaneers looked the same. But they have a new quarterback behind center. We'll get to that later.
Yeah.
But first, we're here to talk about the main entree here, which was the Patriots taking down the Dolphins. They squished the fish. It was close there up until the end. It was fairly close, but
yeah,
pulled away, did everything they had to do. And really, I mean, it was the debut for Cam Newton. What'd you think?
You know, I thought it was pretty good. It looked like a pro offense. They had a plan. You know, you said it was close for, you know, score-wise, it was close for most of the game. The Patriots definitely outplayed the Dolphins.
Oh, easily.
In multiple facets. I mean, that game, you know, the super unfortunate Nikhil Harry fumble out of the back of the end zone, huge no-no. That play didn't happen. You know, it could have been a blowout just as easy as the final score you saw. So, but I thought it was pretty good, you know. It looked a lot smoother than I expected.
Yeah, that's a nice way to phrase it. Right from the opening possession, you see, oh yeah, this is a totally different offense. Cam Newton's using his legs right from the get-go.
Yep, he was running. You know, there was a lot of designed run plays. He was, you know, I mean, as diehard fans, we've never really seen anything like this where the quarterback takes the ball 10 yards, gets a first down easily, or runs it in from 15 yards out for a touchdown, and like a fourth and one or two, it's like a 6 or 7 yard gain. I don't know how sustainable that all is. It might, you know, I don't know if he can get that many runs a game. The, you know, 15 attempts, that's a lot. So,
yeah,
but he looked great. He still got his legs. He still has his legs.
He does. He doesn't look as fast, but I always thought he was deceptively fast because he's a strider where.
Yeah.
It doesn't always look like he's moving that fast, but you watch the way the defenders react to him, and you're like, oh, yeah, he's cooking.
Yeah, you're right. He's got a lumbering stride type of thing. Like, he's not like a Lamar Jackson, which is super quick, like, gazelle-like speed. Like, he's a big dude,
yeah.
And that's the thing. Just as once he gets some momentum, like, he's a big guy to take down. He's bigger than, like, if you think about it, he's bigger than every guy on defense except for 3 or 4 people.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the frame of a defensive end, a classic defensive end. Not
literally.
Not like one of these 235-pound Randy Gregory edge rushers that you see so commonly now. At 250, he's going to truck stick a lot of people. And, you know, we talked about the way they were going to use him for the last couple months, and I always came back to they're not going to use him for designed runs often. Only in, like, critical situations, third downs in the red zone, those 4-point plays, where they would bring that aspect of his game to the forefront because he's had injury issues the last 2
seasons. Yep.
And they don't want to add extra risk there in terms of his health. But then the other side of that coin is, well, first of all, they have to practice it. They need to get reps for it. I mean, you're not going to just run something random that you haven't run before. Even if you feel really good about it, you're not going to run a new play in those critical situations. But also, he's on a 1-year deal.
Right.
I mean, you see it with running backs, too. It's like a running back going into a contract. You're like, all right, man, you're just going to you're gonna house the ball, DeMarco Murray style, when you get like 400 touches and then
literally.
See you later.
Yeah, it's someone like, else pays them.
I wonder if they do it that way. Now, I think that Cam Newton at 31 years old, if he's able to stay healthy for even just a couple games, I think you got to really think about extending him soon.
Maybe. I think it's too early to talk about extension. We need to see how the passing offense goes, you know, get started. You know, one thing about Cam, I will say that it was a little like, ooh, you know, he's got a really long windup. And you saw that, you know, a result of that was a few batted balls. Because it's almost like you can tell, like, it's not like he's looking at the receiver too much and you can tell where he's throwing that way. It's almost like he's winding up and you can see in which direction he's winding up. So the defensive line has a little more idea of what's going on. I don't think it's a big issue. I think it's, I mean, you were so used to watching Tom Brady get it out in 2 seconds, the quickest release every single year. And here's Cam I don't think he's anywhere close to that. I mean, I don't know what they're clocking him at, but. Yeah, no way. And the running thing, early in the season, they might run him into the ground. I don't think he's got a guy, like you said, he's had injury history. We're all worried that he doesn't still have his legs under him. He does. Last thing I would want to do is week 6, they get him hurt because he's ran the ball 75 times in, 6 games or something.
Definitely.
But I think they're showing that to say, hey, guess what, league? Cam Newton can still fucking run the ball.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what happens when he had as many carries as he did completion.
Right.
I mean, we ran the ball 2/3 of the time.
Pretty much. I mean, it was a pretty cool offense. I mean, it's nothing flashy, really. It's just kind of, they told people they wanted to play big ball, bully ball, and that's kind of what they're doing. I think they're going to, work in the passing game. They know it's a work in progress. It's kind of like, this is what we got. We know Cam can do this. Let's strike some fear into people saying, oh shit, we have to spy Cam. Like, we can't just let him do this to us. They'll win. We can't stop that. We have to put a defense in to, keep him from running, keep him at bay. And that gives a little time for the passing game to develop in the back behind the scenes.
Totally. Totally. Right? And I think his presence there is going to help out the running backs. It was running back by committee this game. I think it was like exactly perfect, the amount of snaps between Sony Michel, Rex Burkhead, and James White. All got the exact same number.
Except J.J. Taylor there.
Yeah, he got fewer, but he's right. A different player than that.
Squeaky man, J.J. Taylor. He's 5'6".
I know. Pretty cool, right?
He looked the best.
Yeah,
he did. It's ridiculous.
He wasn't playing during the most difficult times of the game. He wasn't playing like right up in the front when defense was fresh.
Right, right.
But then you saw a lot of tight end Ryan Izzo played almost every snap in the game.
No.
We didn't see a lot of the other tight ends. I think CSC was second on the depth chart, and then
Keen was inactive.
Keen was inactive, exactly. The other
CSC they were pretty much using as a blocking tight end,
which is dumb because he didn't do a single bit of blocking at UCLA.
Oh, maybe they're getting him as a blocker, training him as a blocker first. I don't know. I don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah,
There's a few things that don't make any sense, obviously. But.
He's got the frame. He's one of those guys that's 6'5", 260, that you're like, he's going to be able to block. But some of those guys never pick it up. Like Travis Kelce never picked up blocking. 6'5", 250, never picked it up. So maybe they're just drilling it into his head, like, you have to learn how to block. You have to do this.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah. In the way that the Giants just still – did you watch the Giants on Monday night? Saquon Barkley, I love the guy to death, but holy shit, he can't pass block. Oh my god! So it's like he couldn't get anything.
He couldn't get really anything going outside of getting the ball thrown to him. That offensive line was terrible.
Oh, it's horrendous. But
they made the Steelers look like the best defense of all time.
Steelers have a damn good defense.
They do. I'll finally give it to them. But still, like they were like there was like 3 guys in the backfield every handoff,
every play. They didn't block a single person. It was like, C gap. All
yeah. What's going on? Anyways.
Yeah, the point being that Saquon Barkley was never taught to pass block, or just it wasn't a focal point. And so it seems like they're doing that with a CSC. Offensive line played pretty well. Right tackle, slight rotation, but definitely seems like Uelemeyer is is the front runner there.
I think the offensive line really, we were expecting big things. I thought they looked really good. I mean, they were pushing guys around. Miami's defense, we talked about the defensive line. It's good. It's okay. It's nothing special, but it's nothing to, say. It's not terrible by any means. And we really just bullied them. They really didn't have a chance. There were some big holes.
Oh, yeah.
There were some big holes. And Isaiah Wynn was fine.
Did you expect him not to be?
I mean, I don't know. Last year was his first year. He did pretty good. He finally got to stay in the lineup. I was a little nervous, but I mean, he seems to be playing really well. Like he's becoming a legit left tackle.
Yeah, he was a first round pick. I'd expect.
He's 60. He's small. He's undersized. We didn't know what the pick. He's been questionable. Don't act like he hasn't been. There's questions around this guy.
I know. Definitely question marks, but he's just getting, I mean, he's only started like 14 games at this point. He was injured for part of last season. He doesn't have that much experience. And yeah, he's got great feet. He plays with great leverage. You and I have talked about it. Worried about the length. Still worried about the length. Not worried about him in the running game, basically, at all.
Yeah, it looks like he does pretty good there.
So yeah, I mean, the offense is going to be evolving, and we're going to figure out what's working, and Josh McDaniels is going to pin down on that. And Demir Byrd played a ton, didn't even see a target.
Didn't even see a target.
Not even what he played, like 80% of the snaps. Didn't see a single target.
Well, yeah. Him and N'Keal Harry were actually, based on snap count, at the one and two receivers, and Julian came in sparingly.
Yeah. Well, it's not every, like 60% of the time.
Right.
Which, yeah, it's kind of.
You know, and then, but I mean, he was pretty much getting a bulk of the targets when he was in there. Seems like they're just trying to ease, you know, put him on some kind of snap count because they know how important he is to the passing game. N'Keal Harry finally started getting it going a little bit. I thought he had made some pretty good plays strung together in one drive. He kind of got them down the field. And then he just made a really dumb mistake where they, you know, he was made a great catch. He's running, trying to get into the end zone. I mean, you got the first down. If you knew better, you would just go down and not try and fight for it unless you knew you had it or you could protect the ball. You got to protect the ball. You got to protect the ball in that time part of the field. He didn't.
How much do you think he's hearing that this week? Got to protect the ball. He's probably got tape around his hand in a football right now.
Literally. Because and then it went out of the end zone, back of the end zone. It's immediately a touchback. It's like, wow. Like, that's one of the worst, you know, momentum swinging plays there is. Like
that and pick six,
yeah.
Scoop and score. Those are the three big ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Even like a blocked punt is up there. No,
yep.
Blocked punt because you were going to receive the ball anyway.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, not as bad.
Yeah, it's just a terrible play, and it's one of my favorite ones. But I feel like replay has really screwed it up. I'm just thinking back to that Jets game where the tight end fumbled it out of the back of the end zone and they reviewed it and they couldn't determine it was the whole thing. It's a difficult rule, but yeah, that was a big mistake from N'Keal. You know, he's got room to grow. Another guy that's played like 14 games. He's probably played closer to 10.
I know. It's just, there's so many receivers from that draft right now that are just so good.
Just so much better. I know. Right.
So like the thing is, everyone's mad too. They're like, well, why'd we bust on N'Keal Harry in the first round? No, the real question is, why'd we only take one receiver? There's guys littered throughout the fourth and fifth round of that draft. And we were just like, eh, we're good with the one. What do we need more for? We have no receivers. And we were like, we'll take one. Why not? And then we'll try it with a couple undrafted guys. It's like that dude, the white dude on Tampa Bay, the Miller.
Scotty.
Scotty Miller. He, like, fifth round pick. Brady already was just feeding him the ball. It's like, why couldn't we get him in the fifth round, for Christ's sake?
Well, he's a like 5'11" white receiver paired with
Who
Tom
cares?
Brady. Paired with Tom Brady, this is what I'm saying, is he's going to be dynamite.
What's what I'm saying? Why didn't we fucking pick
when
someone
we
like that?
Tom Brady, because we knew he wasn't going to be around for most of his rookie contract.
No, that's a dumb argument. No, we took N'Keal Harry. For some reason, we were like, he's a dynamite knockout of the park, like home run. No chance anyone could be better than him, or we would need anybody else. It's like,
no,
that's
not what they said.
That's what it seems like they fucking said, because there was like 30 receivers picked after them, and they're all nasty.
You make
not 30, but a lot of them.
You make a great point, because they love to double dip at the same position.
Yeah, they just signed two tight ends.
Two tight ends. You know? They got two guards a couple years back. They take two tackles just about every draft.
Yeah, the double dip on the DNs is, we've done it. We did it this year. We did it with Dont'a Hightower and fucking Chandler Jones. I mean, he always does that. And this, it's like, oh, that was like the best draft to ever do it at receiver. I'm like, no, thank you. We'd rather our shitty undrafted guys and cast offs that nobody else wants because they were injured five times.
You just wait until Gunnar Olszewski comes off the IR and he'll show you.
That's great. Even if he does, that's fine.
You're
like,
saying
why
Scotty
have,
who?
Why couldn't we have like three guys, like young guys? Like, I feel like we don't have a lot of receiver.
No, we don't have much either.
It's really,
it's a problem.
It's pretty dire. I mean, there were rumors this week about Allen Robinson. You know, I don't know. The fact that Demir Byrd's on the goddamn field the whole game and you don't even hear his name called. Is that Demir Byrd? Is that the offense? Is that what they're calling? Is that Cam Newton not looking at him? I don't know, but none of it points to good.
All the above.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one of the issues is Miami's coverage. Maybe they just didn't feel like they had good matchups there. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. Now, let's talk about the defense real quick. Defense holds the Dolphins to 11 points, generates 3 or 4 takeaways.
Should have been less points, too. The fucking touchdown drive they got, I think, 70 yards in penalties or something.
Nuts. But 3 interceptions, which is huge. A couple of them were sweet. I really liked Adrian Phillips' one right in the center. That was mostly Fitzpatrick's fault, but he cashed it in. And, you know, Stephon Gilmore, awesome. They were targeting Gilmore more than I thought they would. I thought they would have stayed away from him.
They paid for it dearly.
Yeah, exactly. You know, J.C. Jackson. One of my favorite things was seeing Jawan Johnson go out there at 6'4", 210, cornerback. Jawan Williams. I think Juwan Johnson used to play for the Celtics. Jawan Williams goes out there, and he just takes over that Patrick Chung role of matching up man-to-man with the tight end. And Mike Gesicki was virtually invisible for a good portion of that game.
Yep. He played really, and then he had a couple good pass breakups. J.C. Jackson, he got the game ball. You had that Belichick made it sound like he made a great play. You know, he did something special on that final interception. I don't really know much, but it was a good catch, you know. He was in the right place at the right time.
Looks pretty good.
Looked pretty good. Adrian Phillips, like you said, I mean, he had 9 tackles, too. He was all over the place. He's like the in-the-box safety.
Yeah, he's our second middle linebacker.
And he seems pretty good. Duggar was in there a little bit. They really didn't play the rookies, you know. It seemed like if they could play a veteran I heard someone say that. If they could play a veteran, they did. Adam Butler played most of the game. He did pretty good. Copeland got in there. He had a couple decent tackles. I was really happy with Byron Coward. D-tackle was in there about, you know, a third of the game and showed some burst, had a good tackle for a loss behind the line. I think that kid could be something. He could be butting into something.
That would be huge. That'd be huge because we talked about how thin that position is.
Yep. They had the goal line stand. Afrini Jennings, the rookie, got in on one of those stuffs. I thought that was pretty cool.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, and then Derek Rivers, good old Derek Rivers, who we've been waiting for forever, got the only sack for the defense.
Yeah, big sack it was.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I was like, wait, who did that? Derek Rivers? Are you kidding me? That guy's not on IR yet?
Pretty good. I mean, our defense lost a lot of talent, but, you know, Miami's offense isn't anything special. It's probably middle of the pack, but we made them look pretty like they didn't know what to do. That secondary is so good that it makes the rest of them look that much better.
Yeah, and like you said, the Dolphins offense has nothing to write home about. We're going to see one of those offenses next week when the Seahawks come to town. That's going to be a whole different animal, and that secondary is going to be pushed to the limit with what Russell Wilson can do from a threat standpoint. This game, it was just a good start to the season. You know,
it was a good start.
3 points through the first 3 quarters. You're debuting a new quarterback and a new offensive game plan, just an entire strategy from an offensive perspective. And then you're going out there without your, like, 2 of your main captains on defense, and Patrick Chung and Dante Hightower, not to mention the other guys that were lost over the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Rookies are contributing despite the fact that they didn't have a rookie minicamp. They didn't have any of the OTAs in the offseason, and they just started like 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So all in all, pretty good.
Pretty good. And Jawan Bentley in the middle looked legit. He looked way better than last year.
Yeah.
That inside linebacker.
I thought he looked good last year too, even up until he got injured.
I thought he looked okay. I thought he looked a little slow. I feel like this game, I was like, wow, there's a pro linebacker there for you. I feel like he took a big leap forward.
Big leap. Personally.
He was filling the gaps way better. He was making reads much better. He wasn't out of place as much. He was taking much more, better paths to runners.
Yeah.
You know, better angles.
I hope he's going to improve like that, because the amount of investment they have in him right now at middle linebacker with the green dot, the only three down linebacker on the team, like the only one. If he gets hurt, there isn't another one. It's going to be a safety in that position.
Yeah, maybe Copeland. They'd have to slide Copeland over.
Ooh, man, Copeland's been in the playbook for, like I said, a month.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, you're right.
He's going to be the guy calling your whole defense. McCourty
would take the dot.
Yeah, McCourty would have to.
And I thought that was pretty cool. Jason McCourty was playing some safety.
I don't know. It's like they're doing this thing, you know, where Belichick has done this for a long time, where it's like defensive linemen and linebackers. It's this Rob Ninkovich role, this like Kyle Van Noy. I don't know if you're a defensive end or a linebacker.
Yeah. They're
doing it now with cornerbacks and safeties. Jonathan Jones plays half the game at safety. Like, that dude is a sculpted slot corner, and why is he turning into a safety?
Yeah, safety. Literally all of them.
All of them. Devin McCourty was a corner, now a safety. Jason McCourty is, like, going through that metamorphosis right now in his 30s. Jawan Williams, I'm gonna do that forever. But, I mean, covering a tight end is classically a safety role.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Pretty much,
does everything. Terrence Brooks plays linebacker. We mentioned Adrian Phillips does.
Yeah, it adds a lot of speed to the defense if your guys up front can handle it. And so far, the first test was a menial one, but they passed. So, yeah, we have a much bigger one up ahead.
Much bigger one up ahead. And we'll talk about some of the other games and close up with the Seahawks and then talk about Pat Seahawks. But elsewhere this weekend in the AFC, Buffalo beat the Jets by 10, and they might have beat them by 35 if they didn't shoot themselves in the foot as many times as they did. I'm completely unimpressed with Josh Allen, continue to be. But I think the Jets might be the worst team in the NFL. I'm not really going out on a limb there, but they're definitely top five worst. And if I...
Definitely top five. Easily top five.
If I had to call the team I think is going to finish with the worst record, I think it's them.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to crown them yet. Trying to see...
You're going to look around. I mean, the Giants are bad. The Jaguars are bad. But they already have a win.
Jaguars are not going to be that bad.
Yeah.
I don't know how. Minshew, I thought was going to be good. I was hoping was going to be good just because it's like, you know, some fifth-round pick. No one's expecting anything from them. They just disassembled the team, and they go and they beat the fucking Colts, who everyone's like, I think the Colts have a good year this year. I got the fucking kick, the Pick'em League I just joined. I'm out week one because I picked the fucking Colts. Well, all my life, I would never should ever bet against – bet for Philip Rivers, and I finally did just because I was like, well, it's the worst team with no talent. How could Jacksonville even field the team? And what do? They win.
Yeah, of course. That's what you get.
But yeah, maybe, you know, the
Jets, you're looking around. The worst. I'm going to convince you.
It's that. I mean, I think Detroit right now is a dumpster fire.
They have a franchise quarterback. The Jets are, I will never, ever feel empathy for a Jets fan, but
yeah, they look real bad though.
Shit, that team is in just the worst position. They just traded away Jamal Adams, basically the only good player on that team. Le'Veon Bell, the only other good player, just lands on injured reserve. Sam Darnold is a lost cause as far as I'm concerned. And people are talking about, oh, well, you should just get rid of Adam Gase and see if you can get another quarterback to fix Sam Darnold. It's like, Sam Darnold's 22. He needs to be fixed already.
Yeah,
how much damage has Adam Gase done there?
It's pretty bad.
It's bad, and I'm just stoked that we get to play them twice this year.
Yeah, I know. My buddy, who's a really good Jets fan, he was like, honestly, I can't see one good part of our team. He's like, there's not even a guy right now. I'm like, wow, I'm happy at least we have this guy. He's like, that doesn't even exist this year. He's like, I think this is the worst team we've ever fielded.
I think it has to be. It has to be. Robbie Anderson's gone. I mean, there's just nothing there. Leonard Williams, they traded to the Giants. God, he terrible draft.
I mean, they've had some bad teams, and we're saying this is the worst already?
Yeah, it's real bad. It's real bad.
It's real bad. Chicago should be real bad, but Detroit really blew it.
Yeah, there were some...
Really blew it.
Mitchell Trubisky with the fourth quarter comeback. You should be ashamed of yourselves, Detroit.
And then, yeah, Detroit had the chance. They threw it to rookie. He dropped it. And then someone... Question, did you see Matt Patricia after the game?
No, what'd he say?
So someone asked him the question, they're like, basically, I don't, you know, this is not verbatim at all, but they're like, oh, did you know, these fourth quarter, you know, you in the fourth quarter, you've had some bad luck and what have you. Is like, do you think that's part of like a coaching scheme, or is just unlucky, and like, do you think your pedigree has shown that it's like you need to improve in that area or something along those lines? And Matt Patricia's like, oh, I think my pedigree is just fine. I think I called that. It speaks for itself with what I did a few years ago in probably the biggest moment of all time in the Super Bowl.
Yuck. Like, yuck.
Dude, you were an assistant. You were the coordinator. That is, you do not get credit for that.
Wow. Dude, stop fucking up.
And it's like, you're the head coach of your team right now. Like, get it together.
Stop being defensive. You can take on that responsibility. Take on the onus for your... That's too literally. Bad. I felt bad for DeAndre Swift, the rookie that dropped that pass. Yeah, that's tough.
Real tough.
There were a couple upsets. That was a comeback, not necessarily an upset with the Bears, but the Washington football team taking out the Eagles, putting up 27 unanswered points.
Yeah,
to win it by 10, almost all in the second half, I think.
Yep.
Is it weird to say I kind of like that team?
I kind of like them.
Yeah, I like Dwayne Haskins.
Kind of like
him. I didn't think I was going to, and then I saw him actually being a leader on sidelines. Like, oh, this feels like a totally different person than he did last
year. Yeah, I mean, I didn't get to see a ton of the game, but they, you know, from what I saw, they were playing hard, and that division is just wide open.
Wide open.
I feel like it always is. You know, we talk, the Giants are horrible. I feel like Dallas just can't get their shit together, no matter what. I mean, LA is not that good of a team, and they just couldn't do anything. They have so much talent on offense, and they can't keep a fucking drive going.
Yep.
It's like, what is going on down there? Mike McCarthy, Jesus Christ, he made some terrible play calling. Like, we were watching, we're like, what are they doing? Is that what they're doing? It was bad. It was bad.
A lot of it was bad, yeah. And I'm not in love with a lot of the talent that Dallas has. Amari Cooper, I absolutely loved him going into the draft. But it's just like, he gets hit. He's running a crossing route, doesn't even look at Dak, and gets hit in the hip with the ball.
It's that was so bad.
Come on, have some awareness, would you?
Well, I mean, they got him, they got Gallup, they got CeeDee Lamb, they got Zeke. I mean, right there is pretty, they got an unbelievable offensive line. Yeah. I mean, they got a lot going, way more going for them than most teams. And it's like, they just can't figure it out.
Yeah, this is where you always see it, where some teams just care more. And the Redskins, excuse me, the Washington football team, at least in week one, looked like they really cared. And maybe it had a lot to do with Ron Rivera's sick, and he's getting IVs at halftime. And, you know, sometimes you just need a galvanizing thing like that.
Literally.
Sometimes.
I was going to say they have more talent, too, this year than they probably had in years.
Well, yeah. The influx of adding Chase Young to that defensive line, and now you have like Chase Young, Montez Sweat, and Ryan Kerrigan for edge rushers.
Yeah,
I mean, they can really, really get after the quarterback. They got Jonathan Allen inside, who's a guy I've always been infatuated with out of Alabama.
Yeah,
they can, you know, they can play some defense. They could definitely get after the quarterback. They got a stable of running backs, and you know, if Dwayne Haskins can put something together, and if not, they have two other quarterbacks. They have Kyle Allen that started like 12 games last year, and then Alex Smith coming back off out of the glue factory.
Yep, pretty good. Green Bay, everyone's curious how Rodgers would respond to Green Bay drafting a quarterback, and they absolutely kicked ass. They kicked Minnesota's butts.
Yeah, they did.
The score doesn't look as bad as it was, but Green Bay was just coming, and they weren't stopping.
I think they had touchdown passes of like 35, 40, and 55 yards or something crazy.
Rodgers was just slinging it. Everyone was like, oh, they don't have any receivers. Well, finally, Rodgers didn't care. He was absolutely slinging it.
Yeah.
And you know who I absolutely love this year? Is the Las Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, the Raiders.
I'm a huge fan. I want them to be really good. I think Gruden, they came out with like a rule that you have to wear your mask on the sidelines, and they said now they're going to levy fines, I think, because Gruden just like ripped it off halfway through. Not that I'm against COVID mask wearing by any means. I'm all for it. But I just thought it was so – he just looked like such a mess out there. I think he is the funniest son of a bitch.
He is.
And they've got a lot of talent.
He's the – I want to talk about Gruden a little more, because every time they show him, I'm just laughing.
Yeah, it's so funny, his reactions and how pissed he gets.
Yeah,
it's just hilarious.
I mean, everything about his, first of all, his gut is expanded. He's on the quarantine diet. And yep. then it looks like, I don't know why I haven't noticed this before, but he's got like a Curious George body. Like he's got a fat belly and he's got these really long arms and big hands.
He's always been in pretty good shape.
Yeah, but now he's chubby. And it reminds me of Robin Williams. Robin Williams is like, he's just kind of broad and big torso, but then these really long arms.
That's pretty funny.
That's what John Gruden looks like to me. And then every time he took his hat off or his visor, whatever he wears now, and just the way his hair was messed up, it looked it looked so much like that clip of Trump getting on the plane where he goes up the stairs and like the wind blows his hair all over the place.
Yeah.
It's like that's what Gruden's hair looked like to me. It's like, holy cow, you gotta cover
so
that up.
He's so good.
But
he's like golden TV.
Yeah, he's incredible. And yeah, I mean I always liked the Raiders. As soon as I saw them come on TV, I go, those are the best jerseys in sports. I have that thought constantly.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, and they do have some pretty good talent. Huge, huge fan of Josh Jacobs. Everything
Dude,
that he brings to the team.
Beast. He's such a beast.
And that offensive line is filled with monsters. Mm-hmm. They just love to train wreck people. Like a couple of their receivers, it's weird that Hunter Renfrow is like their number one receiver. He returns punts. He gets more targets than anybody.
And they got Ruggs made a couple plays. The other dude, the other rookie, was supposed to be big time. He hasn't made too many plays. He didn't really do much. But then they got Waller, too, at tight end, who's a really good player.
Yeah.
They got some guys on defense. I like them. I'm a big fan of them.
I'm a fan of that team as well. The Chargers went into Cincinnati for Joe Burrow's first game. We were texting about this. It was just classic.
Yeah.
It's just like the Bengals are losing to the Chargers for no reason. But whatever. They end up with the ball late in the game, need 3 points to tie. Joe Burrow makes a fourth quarter comeback drive happen. He's going to get his first fourth quarter game-winning or tying drive, and they get into like, it was, what was it, like a 30-yard field goal, 28-yard field goal?
It wasn't that far. It was maybe like a 35.
It was very close to an extra point distance, and I'm watching the game going, Randy Bullock's a good kicker. He's been there forever. He's going to be fine. And he shanks the living shit out of it and pulls both of his calves in the process. Did you hear that?
I saw it live.
I saw him. He immediately grabbed one, but he pulled both of them.
I didn't know he pulled both. And Joe Burrow's face the whole time, he was like, literally, like, couldn't believe it. Just like,
he's like oh,
wow.
Yeah, you're right. I'm on the Bengals.
Yeah, I was like, this is why everyone was giving me shit for saying I was fine going to the Bengals. So, welcome to the NFL there. Yeah, the Ravens played really well, like expected. They kicked the crap out of Cleveland. Baker just does not look good.
Yeah, Baker, he needs to be in a very specific offense, and Kevin Stefanski needs to figure that out in September. He needs to figure that out now.
He'll soon, before his confidence is completely killed.
Yeah.
Kansas City kicked the crap out of Houston. As expected, Billy O'Brien not looking too great for all his decisions he's been making. But yeah. So then brings us to Tampa Bay at New Orleans.
Yeah. And how many times, Patriots fans hate to see him in a different uniform. It's like, yeah, it's freaking weird, man.
It is weird.
He's so tan.
He's so tan. He looked great. He honestly, Tom looked great.
He looks fantastic.
He looks fantastic.
I can't tell. It looks like his sideburns have a little bit of gray, but even if you get right up close, it's like, I don't see a single gray hair. But it feels like there's gray in it.
There should be gray there. But so Brady comes out, go down the field. They get the ball first, go down the field, make it look easy. Like, honestly, they made it look easy, scored a touchdown.
He was dropping some dimes on that first
drive. I mean, the whole game, he was making some good passes. But then, as soon, you know, once that happened, well, they turned into the proverbial pumpkin and became the Tampa Bay Bucks again. Even Brady couldn't pull them out of that. They had all the worst offsides penalties on the offensive line, defensive line, terrible penalties in the secondary, all that shit. Brady throws a pick six on just that throw he's been trying to make. This is the third game in a row he's thrown a pick six with that same throw, that little outside, you know, slant or whatever the fuck that is. It's like the out, and it's like two, I don't know, it's not there, or he's got to go away from it. Another miscommunication with Mike Evans over the middle. Mike Evans just looked like he was getting bitched the whole game by Lattimore. Didn't run the right route, didn't see the same thing as Brady or something. Brady throws it up, it was overthrown, pick.
Bruce Arians throws him under the bus immediately after the game. Oh, yeah, Mike Evans made the right read. It wasn't Tom. Tom shouldn't have made the throw. He overthrew it. So, I don't know, you know. And then you see Brady's face at the end. It's like, yeah, Tom, like, all that shit that Bill makes you do that you didn't want to fucking really do anymore.
Maybe this team needed some of that.
Maybe you needed some of that. Maybe you needed some of that. The Patriots, who nobody expected to do fucking anything, they looked pretty good. Yeah. They didn't make those ticky-tack mistakes. They didn't jump off sides. They didn't. We got called for like one or two, three penalties?
Something like that. It was barely any.
It was barely any. It was all on one drive, and it seemed like fucking ticky-tack just to make it a game, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, that game was, it was underwhelming from both sides. I mean, the Saints didn't even play very well on offense.
I know it was the Saints, and, you know, I'm not counting Brady Bob by at all, but yeah, they didn't look great.
Yeah.
They really, it was the Tampa just shot themselves in the foot. Like, they still had a chance.
Over and over, yeah. And I was watching that game, like, I can't believe that they're committing this many penalties, and then they say during the broadcast, oh, they led the NFL in penalties last season. It's like, oh, I can see why.
Yeah.
They're playing in a dome that's completely quiet, has like four fans in it, and they're jumping off sides repeatedly. How are you doing this? They keep the false starts on offense. There were a lot of pass interference calls in this game, and I think Brady a couple of Brady's downfield plays that could have been converted were actually taken away as pass interference plays. And otherwise, I think he would have pretty easily been over 300 yards. He finished up with like 240, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's weird because that out route implies that you don't have the arm to throw that anymore. But it looks like the arm strength is still there. It looks like his aim was off. Like he just...
Right.
He either thought it was going to get there faster than it did, or he just didn't throw it all the way to the sideline.
Yeah.
Physically, I still think he has it physically.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he made some great throws. There were some downfield throws where it was like, okay, he still got it. The offensive line they have in Tampa really does not do it.
It's no good.
It's no good. And he's going to get killed. And he was getting killed. And that's going to continue to happen.
That's going
to
be a big problem. And
that's going to be a big problem.
They really need to... Gronk was basically out there as a blocker. I thought he played way more snaps than I expected him to. I expected him to play like a third of the snaps, and he probably played twice that.
And he didn't look great.
No. He looked skinny. He went, I think, slow. Did he catch one pass? But he went down in a hurry on that one pass.
He got hit wicked hard in the thigh that he had a problem with. It's like, dude, what are you? He looks slow. It's like, what are you doing out there, man? I mean, maybe you still got it, but like, just give it to OJ Howard and call it a day. You know, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
OJ Howard needs to be a bigger part of that offense. They need to figure out what the heck to do with Leonard Fournette, because if you're going to put him in shotgun next to Tom Brady, he's not going to do well.
No.
Put him as the deep back. Do you have a fullback on that roster? No? Okay, then get rid of Leonard Fournette because he doesn't fit what you're doing.
Literally. Like, I mean, I feel like Bruce Arians really doesn't seem like a good coach to me. I mean, in the press conference, they're like, so what happened with all the penalties? And he's going through all the bad plays. And he comes to the offsides, which they committed at least four or five, and one was on a fourth and fucking two. The defense jumped offsides.
I remember.
Converting it for the Saints. And it's like, he goes, well, you know, we practice that all the time. It's really, it doesn't make any sense to me how that would happen. Really, buddy? Really? Well, then clearly you're not fucking practicing these guys in the right way, because they shouldn't be. No one else jumped offsides like that. If anyone else did, they're the shittiest teams in the NFL. So welcome. You've practiced with the shittiest teams in the NFL. Clearly you're not a good coach, if that's your fucking answer.
That's pretty good. Okay, nice. You know what? Yeah. One of my favorite things is you look at the sideline, and it's Tom Brady talking to Byron Leftwich. And Brady's career started 3 years before Leftwich was drafted.
Yeah.
By the time Leftwich came into the league, Brady already had a ring. He would soon have two more. And then by the time Leftwich is out of the league, Brady's already the best quarterback of all time. And then Leftwich starts his second career, builds it up to the point that he's an offensive coordinator, and Brady is still fucking playing.
Yeah, pretty insane. Pretty insane.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever. We'll still be rooting for him. They have a long way to go. The Saints, Saints are a good team. They didn't play that well. Michael Thomas had like two catches.
I mean, I felt bad that he was out there getting his butt kicked.
It's going to continue to happen. The Saints can get after the quarterback pretty well. Cam Jordan's a handful. Yeah. And hopefully they get a good matchup sometime soon. Maybe they'll get to play the Falcons, who we'll talk about in a second, and their non-existent defense.
they will be able to play the Falcons twice.
Yeah, exactly. Probably the biggest upset of the weekend, Cardinals go into San Fran and leave with a win, a comeback win at that. Kyler Murray comes out of there outplaying Jimmy Garoppolo pretty significantly. And DeAndre Hopkins integrates himself immediately and becomes the focal point of that offense. DeAndre Hopkins, a guy that I think is going to have an identical career to Larry Fitzgerald for the second half of his career, where I think Fitz probably had a higher peak. But they're another fun team. You know, Cliff Kingsbury can really design it on offense, and Kyler Murray, you can't corral him. I don't know what it is. I thought he was too short. I didn't think he was going to be able to see a thing.
He's a little spark plug out there.
Yeah, he can. He just really scoots, and he had one of those touchdown runs that he's just zigging and zagging outside of everybody. Yeah. On all three levels of the
very choppy quick. Like it's not a very smooth quickness, but he's wicked quick.
Yeah,
like it's a stuttery quick.
Yeah, and this interesting. I mean, this could be the start. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, and this is a thought that I had last week, so this predates his game, but it's, you know, pretty much every year the team that loses the Super Bowl the next year takes a big step back. We saw it with the Rams last year.
Yeah.
It happens all the time, and unless you're the New England Patriots, it happens to just about everybody.
Yeah, pretty much.
So,
I mean, you have to have a really good team, and just based on how they lost, I mean, they didn't score a lot, and they need, you know, they didn't do much. They didn't look great.
They didn't look great, yeah. And they had like an 80-yard touchdown run from Mostert in the first quarter.
Literally.
After that, it really wasn't too much. So they're definitely a candidate to miss the playoffs in the same way, you know, the 2016 Panthers did after Super Bowl, and everybody else. Go on and on. The Falcons after they lost the Super Bowl.
The Eagles won. Yeah, that's different. Yeah, you're right.
I am right. We already talked about Dallas and LA, the Monday night games. I'm on this Drew Lock. I think he could be a fantasy quarterback. I don't know why I'm still sitting on this.
Maybe. I mean, he didn't look bad. Sutton wasn't there, and I think that'll help him.
I think that'll help out. Yeah, the Titans have a playoff worthy defense. We saw what they did to Lamar Jackson. But yeah, he's got talent.
No one. I mean, the Titans didn't look that impressive.
No, definitely.
Ryan Tannehill can't make a fucking throw to save his life.
And he's got 3 years left on that deal. He's got
they did really good money there. It's like, oof.
Yeah.
So.
And I don't read anything, basically anything, into the way the Steelers dismantled the Giants.
No.
Just because the Giants are that bad.
And this, I mean, it wasn't, they really didn't take advantage of it. It wasn't like they kicked the crap out of them. They barely won.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, circling back. The Seahawks went into Atlanta, and I believe it. The Seahawks were favored by like 1.5 points going into the game, like that. Very close line. And they won by 13 points, but it could have been 30. It was just utter domination beginning to end. And they did the thing that pretty much the rest, everybody who is a fan of the NFL suggests, hey, let Russell Wilson throw the ball more. And every person who operates an NFL team, I'm sure, is hoping, don't let him throw more. Don't figure out that part of the game plan. Just keep feeding Chris Carson 40 times a game.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, 2020 looks like it could be the year of Russell Wilson actually getting a superstar's level of quarterback throws, of attention from an attempt standpoint. If they continue with this game plan, hopefully they don't. This coming week when they come in to play the Patriots, but Seattle looks offensively
pretty damn good.
And DK Metcalf going downfield for a big play on 4th and inches. Tyler Lockett's still there. They got several running backs that they can hand the ball to. Russell Wilson still makes plays behind the line of scrimmage and can make people miss and extend plays. That offensive line is starting to fill out. I mean, they pick up Dwayne Brown last season, and it just doesn't look as bad. Granted, this is against the Falcons, but it doesn't look as bad as it has for many years.
Falcons with no defense. Russell Wilson went 31 for 35. Pretty impressive, but, you know, it's also pretty impressive where Matt Ryan throws for 450 fucking yards and still pretty much gets blown out.
That's the thing, is I'm not that impressed with the Seahawks' back end of their defense either.
No, they, you know, honestly, I feel like the Seattle's defense at this point is going more on merit of old teams and old defenses as to opposed to what they actually have.
Oh, you mean like people are like, oh, they're going up to Seattle to face that vaunted defense. It's like, it doesn't exist anymore. Right. There's one guy left. It's Bobby
completely
Wagner.
Gone.
And KJ Wright, I think, is still there.
KJ Wright's still there. And that's it.
you know, you look at this defense, and Bruce Irving is a serviceable outside linebacker, but their D-line has been completely stripped.
That's the thing is, and that defense for years and years relied on, you know, superstar front players depth on the back end, but pressure on the quarterback with four guys, Michael Bennett, really good Cliff Averill, and those guys were able to get pressure on the quarterback in just a couple seconds. And they just don't have – Bruce Irvin is the only guy. And even when he was there, which is when he was at his peak, he was like a second or third option as a pass rusher.
Yeah.
And now he's their primary force. The only other guy up there is Jaron Reed, and he's more of a run stuffer from a defensive tackle position.
Yeah.
Bobby Wagner's exactly. Not really a blitzer. KJ Wright's more of a coverage player. There's just nobody there. They just can. Yeah. I don't see. There's a reason they traded for Jadeveon Clowney last year, is because they recognized we can't put any pressure on anybody, and that's going to continue to be the issue.
Exactly. I mean, their front seven is not even close to what it used. This dude Benson Mayoa made a couple decent plays last Sunday, but I mean, he's nothing. You know, no Jadeveon Clowney. He's not a top-tier pass rusher. LJ Collier, I don't even know much about him. And then that's really it. And then you look in the back end, they got Jamal Adams. They traded for him because they needed him desperately. So the Jets get, you know, they got him from the Jets. And that's all they have on the back end. Shaquille Griffin's a very average player. He's an average player.
I think he's pretty good. Every time I watch him, he's really competitive.
He may be, but I don't think he's – I mean, I feel like we have three better cornerbacks than him.
Oh, yeah, I would take at least three of our guys ahead of him.
Right, and then you got Quentin Dunbar, who was on the Skins for a little while. He's serviceable. I feel like their cornerbacks are serviceable. That's as good as it gets.
Yeah, Quandre Diggs, you know, and the thing is, Jamal Adams isn't a coverage player. You know, he's there to stop the run. And yeah, maybe it'll be difficult to run the ball against us. Maybe.
I don't think it will be, because their front seven is going to get bitched by – their front four is going to get bitched by our offensive line.
Yeah.
There is no way we're going to be – the A-gaps are going to be open. Puna Ford and Jaron Reed, I don't think, can handle the big boys we got up front.
What's going on? There you go. But in terms of passing the ball, this is a really good opportunity for us to figure that part out.
Yeah.
It's and as long as they're able to stay away from Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright, those crafty guys, I don't know. I don't want to throw anywhere near them on those underneath zones, throwing against tight ends, seeing what they do there.
Go deep.
But if we want to push the ball deep, push the ball outside the numbers.
Push it.
That sounds great. Let's let Cam rip it, and let's get Damir Bird a look. Let's make N'Keal Harry a focal point of the game plan, and let's
see if he can rip it.
I think this offense could. I think number one, we can stay on the field for a long time, for definitely 32 plus minutes.
Yeah,
and we can probably put up somewhere in the mid 20s in terms of points. And I know that for years we're like, oh, mid 20s, that's nothing. But
that's what we get
right now. I think mid 20s is pretty good.
Yeah, I agree.
But then,
I mean,
that's pretty much all I had to say about our offense against their defense. The other side, the other matchup is really the strength. And this is where it feels like the Seahawks probably have a slight edge, but their strengths are our strengths, which means their strengths of pushing the balls to receivers and throwing the ball downfield is exactly what we're able to do with the depth in the secondary. And I'd be more worried about a power run game, and classically they do have a power run game, but I kind of feel like I'm okay with taking that.
Yeah, I mean, our defense is, I feel like, already built better to defend the power run game, just from the way they, you know, Miami tried to power run game us last week, and they couldn't do it. They couldn't even come close. Now, not that they have the best power run game, but I'd say, you know, offensive line-wise, it's similar talent to Seattle. I definitely take Chris Carson over whoever the hell Miami has right now. But they didn't even run last week. You know, they didn't really run at all last week. So to say that, not that they can't do it, but I wouldn't be too afraid that, like, oh, they're going to come out and try and run for 150 yards on you on 35 carries. Like, they're not going to try and do that. They're going to – Russell Wilson just threw, you know, four touchdowns or whatever, three touchdowns on 31 completions. They're going to keep trying to do that. That's where their offense is going. That's what they're going to try and do. But you're right, we match up well against them. We've got big cornerbacks that can take on DK Metcalf. You know, you put Stephon Gilmore on a Tyler Lockett type player. Yeah. I'm not too afraid about that. You know, JC Jackson and a safety over the top on DK Metcalf, and it all of a sudden doesn't look as scary. Their third receiver is Philip Dorsett, who has been in New England the last couple of years and made some good plays, but he is nobody that's going to scare you.
Yeah.
I would take Johnny Jones on him any day. Greg Olsen is older. You know, he's still got something, but he's not going to crush you these days. Will Disley, same idea. You know, the talent runs through those two receivers, and I think we're pretty well equipped, like you said, to deal with it.
Yeah, definitely. And with, you know, it can be a hassle to track down Russell Wilson as he's scrambling back there, but as we saw last week, they play like eight guys on the edge. They're just going to have fresh legs rushing the passer all the time. And just to go back to the run-pass ratio, they threw 35 passes last week and only ran the ball 20 times. And that's in a game where they were leading the entire game significantly. And they're still putting the ball in the air.
Right, exactly. So if it's like if they were going to do a lot of run attempts, it would have been while they were leading by 15 points.
It would have been there, yeah. One really underrated part of this is this game is happening in Seattle, but it's happening with no fans. And I don't know what ordinarily the geography or the geometry, I should say, of that stadium makes the fans louder. But do you think they point the speakers up at those roof panels to reflect it back onto the field? I mean, how are they going to get their sound advantage?
They aren't. So, traveling cross country is, you know, obviously for Seattle a little bit of an edge on us because they don't have to travel. But yeah, it's definitely Sunday night in there with a full crowd, that would make make some mistakes. It'd be a problem. You'd make mistakes just because of that alone. And now that those mistakes are already gone, it's like, oh, you're not going to have to deal with that. So yeah, man, I want to say Seattle is one of the best teams in the league easily. And I just think we really somehow match up with them really well. We really do.
Yeah. And, I think the game plan defensively is probably going to be pretty similar to what we've seen against a Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers previously, where it's all about contain and he's going to have the ball for a long time. And it's going to feel really frustrating. We say this every time, but it tends to keep them in check.
Yeah.
I have the same feeling. I'm sure we both agree that Seattle's going to be a playoff team, especially with what we saw from the Niners in week one. Mm-hmm. And I get the feeling that we're going to be able to run the ball pretty damn well against them. They're going to want to go at our strengths and not be able to do it that effectively. It's going to be close. I'm not saying it's going to be not close, but I think we edged them probably 23 to 20.
I was going to say 27-23. So yeah, we're both in that ballpark there. One thing that is going to be very important that we actually kind of didn't say much about is our kicking game for field goals has to be pretty good. I know, you know, Nick Folk missed one last week, but he made his extra points. He made his extra points, thank God. But, you know, it makes you wonder that, you know, looking at the rest of the league, how bad the kicking situation is. We were wondering last week, and I'm sure a lot of other people were saying, why didn't the Patriots bring back Steven Gostkowski?
Holy shit.
Well, he missed three field goals and an extra point on Monday night, and then actually did hit the game winner.
The game winner, and that he was missed, like 27 yards.
27 yards. He missed from like 30 yards, 40 yards, and like 45 yards.
It was bad.
Shanked and an extra point. It was probably the worst kicking I've ever seen. And then they still put him out there, and he did it. So, I mean, kicking is going to be a big deal this year again, which is kind of funny and sucks, but it is what it is.
You'd think if there was one thing that wasn't affected by no off-season activities, no mini camp, it's like, oh, but the kickers, it's not going to affect them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, clearly it did. So the Patriots play Sunday night, which is going to be a great game. It's going to be fun to see them on Sunday night with that broadcast crew and everything. Some other games that are going to be interesting, Atlanta at Dallas. If Dallas can't get it going against Atlanta, I don't think they can.
Yeah, that's the best opportunity they're going to get.
You know, passing-wise. Detroit, Green Bay. Green Bay's going to kick the crap out of them. Now, there's not that many great ones
they
in
really
here.
Aren't.
I don't know if you see anything. Carolina at Tampa. Hopefully Tampa gets it going against them. Brady can do something well.
Yeah, the only one that really stands out is the Ravens going to match up with Deshaun Watson. You got Lamar and Deshaun on the same field. That's always going to be must-see.
Yep, that's definitely going to be pretty good. Denver at Pittsburgh, you know, might be some foreshadowing of possible, you know, playoff.
Whoa, he's got Denver teams in the playoffs? Look at you. You're
hey, man,
on this Drew
possibly.
Locke idea as well.
I mean, I feel like they – well, I shouldn't say – I mean, Steelers are a playoff game. Denver, maybe.
I'd give them on a chance, one of maybe 10 teams trying to get in.
Strong, maybe.
But I think New Orleans at Las Vegas on Monday night is going to be a great game, too. I'm really excited to see if Las Vegas.
The first game in Vegas, right?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see this first game in Vegas. And if the Raiders are legit and can beat the Saints, I'd be so happy. I hate the Saints.
Hate the Saints. Hate them. Yeah,
hate them.
The only other one I see is the Rams going to Philadelphia. The Eagles potentially start 0-2. That's going to be the winner of that division is going to be like 6-9. So 6-9-1.
Mm-hmm. And then the Skins at the Cardinals. That's not bad either.
Who are these people playing the Cardinals?
The Skins.
The who?
They'll be the Skins forever in my mind. They should have just called them the Skins. The Skins isn't racist.
Because
everyone's got skin.
What right? goes on the helmet?
I mean, it's weird.
Some, like Buffalo Bill cut out piece of flap of skin.
Like a straight razor. Maybe we get, shave the skin. I don't know. It's pretty stupid. But they're the Skins. I don't know. It's going to be tough. The football team.
It's going to take a long time. It's going to take a long time. We're still saying the San Diego Chargers, and it's been years
they've been in LA. I know. That's just the city change. All right. That's good pretty deal. Good.
All right. So we both are back to our roots, picking the Patriots, regardless of where the game is played, who the opponent is. We still have the overambitious, optimistic point of view. And in Bill, we trust.
Yep.
He'll keep it up. I love seeing the Subway commercials with Bill. But at some point, I'm like, I don't want to see it all the time. Tone down the frequency. But I do like seeing him out there. And, we think he's going to have something dialed up. He's going to have – he loves to go at Pete Carroll. Loves to.
He does it. Loves it.
Took Pete's job here in New England, and he likes rubbing it in his face that, hey, look what I did with your job.
Yeah, literally. Some of your players. Yeah,
exactly.
Yep.
2 years later, won a Super Bowl. All right, that'll do it for us. Enjoy the games this weekend. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week.
Adios.